Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, a podcast series brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I'm Devyani Chaturvedi, research analyst at ISAS, and I will be your host for today's episode. With the world's energy system transitioning from a fuel-intensive to a mineral-intensive one, countries across the world are racing to access critical minerals like cobalt, lithium, and rare earths. As a result, exploration for these minerals has grown in manifolds. But why? Well, the answer is simplistic in terms of the fact that it owes to the various uses critical minerals have. They are used in production of batteries for solar and wind panels, in semiconductors, and in defense and telecom equipment, which broadly means that critical minerals can be key contributors towards the world's endeavors in limiting its carbon emissions. Just as each country is evaluating its critical mineral capacity, the Geological Survey of India, in its official statement made earlier this month on 9th February 2023, announced the presence of lithium reserves for the first time in India. Prior to this exploration, India's critical minerals capability in lithium was negligible, if not null. So these new lithium reserves provide an opportunity, since more is always more. But the question remains, what are critical minerals? Joining me today to answer some of our questions on critical minerals and those in India is Dr. Rajesh Chadha, a senior fellow at the Center for Social and Economic Progress, CSEP, a research-led think tank based out of New Delhi, India. Dr. Chadha's research focuses on the issues of ensuring efficient, socially just, and environment-friendly growth of the non-fuel mining sector in India, while also addressing climate change issues. Dr. Chadha's most recent work assesses India's need for critical minerals, making him the best candidate for our podcast today. Welcome, Dr. Chadha.
Thank you, Devyani. And critical minerals, they are also referred to as critical raw materials in some studies. These are the mineral resources, both primary and processed, which are essential inputs in the production process of an economy. Their supplies are likely to be disrupted due to the risks of non-availability or unaffordable price spikes. In addition, some of these minerals lack substitutability and end-of-life recycling processes. While these minerals are inputs for traditional industries, many are crucial for the high-tech products required for clean energy, defense, information technology, aviation, and space research. We recently did a working paper on assessing the criticality of 23 minerals, which is already uploaded on the website, but we have now expanded it to 43, which will soon be public. These are select minerals required for India's manufacturing sectors, focusing on the future needs for clean energy and green manufacturing technologies. The paper highlights that India shall require much higher quantities of critical minerals for manufacturing electric vehicles and renewable energy technologies. You see, it is important to also have a basic understanding of how the criticality of the minerals is assessed. You know, as a student of economics, we all know that there are demand side factors and the supply risks. So in our study, we took certain indicators of the demand side, that is the economic importance of a particular mineral, its disruption potential, substitutability index, and gross value added multiplier coefficient, which is a little technical term, but it is there in the paper. On the supply side, we looked at the concentration of extraction as well as processing, that is through Herfindahl-Hirschman index. We also looked at the governance indicators where these minerals are being extracted and processed, and then end of life recycling rate of these minerals, import reliance of India, and substitutability possibilities. So these are some basic points that I thought that I should mention as introduction to what are critical minerals.
Thank you, sir. So contextualizing critical minerals to India, what do you imagine India's critical mineral supply chain to look like? What are some of the disruptions and vulnerabilities?
You see, in the case of critical mineral supply chains, one can say a lot, but I'll be brief. Like geographic concentration of mining and processing critical minerals may adversely impact their availability, particularly if they are mined or processed in a handful of countries. While many of these critical minerals are mined in, let's say, Australia, China, Democratic Republic of Congo, and South America, much of the processing of these critical minerals or these minerals takes place in China. I'll just give three examples here, not in detail. Cobalt, for example, Democratic Republic Congo extracts, when I say extracts, it means mines, 69% of the total mined cobalt in the world, whereas on the processing side, China processes 65% of all the cobalt resources. Lithium, Australia mines 52% of the global lithium mining. However, the processing again takes place in China, which is 58% of the world processing. One more very touchy example, that is rare earths. China mines about 60% of the rare earth elements, but dominates the processing to 87% of the global processing. So there will be an increase in the demand for several critical minerals as India and the rest of the world transition towards renewable power generation and electric vehicles. The manufacturing of renewable energy technologies would require increasing quantities of minerals, including copper, manganese, zinc, and indium. Likewise, moving to electric vehicles would require increasing quantities of minerals like copper, lithium, cobalt, and rare earth elements. However, India does not have many of these minerals, and the need for some may be higher than India's current reserves, if at all we have some, necessitating relying on foreign partners to meet domestic needs. So India must ensure resilient and secure supply chains of critical minerals.
Thank you, sir. That is quite insightful. Now coming to one of the big questions for this podcast. Is the recent discovery of lithium deposits in Jammu and Kashmir, India, posing to be a game changer for India? If so, then what would this mean for India's future in critical minerals?
Good question. The lithium discovery in India, that is in Jammu and Kashmir, builds upon the geochemical mapping conducted by the Geological Survey of India, that is GSI, in the 1990s. This led to a report which stated in 1999, the prospect for lithium appears to be quite promising in this area, which means the identified Jammu and Kashmir area. However, it is unclear why further exploration work could not be done for about till 2023. Nevertheless, it should not be the sole responsibility of the government organization to carry out the entire exploration process of all the minerals in the country. Globally, a thriving industry of small exploration companies known as juniors, actually they are the experts, known as juniors, invest their money, time, and expertise to discover and develop mineral deposits. However, India has missed gaining from the expertise of junior explorers due to its policy constraints. Now, coming to the discovery of 5.9 million tons, it represents actually 7% of the global lithium resources and fifth largest inventory in the world. This discovery is an inferred resource. When I say inferred resource, I am using a technical term from the United Nations framework classification. It is at the G3 level. In 1999, it was G4 level. Now we have reached G3 level. Further exploration must be done to convert the inferred resources into economically mineable mineral reserves. So there is a difference between a resource, which means which is yet to be made economically viable, and so there is a need to move from inferred resources that have been discovered to economically mineable reserves. So while the discovery of lithium in India is good news for the country's future self-reliance, various steps are required to convert the resource into a functioning mine. Detailed exploration of the block will be required, which can take several months and even years, depending on the complexity of the deposit. As the block has reached the G3 level, a composite license, which allows for exploration and mining of the mineral, can be auctioned to an eligible company. We see some indications that such an auction may take place early. So then there is a requirement for setting up the mining plan and environmental and social impact assessments. So all these need to be done with due care and on the time. So the lithium deposit that we have found in 2023 may bear its fruit after some years, and the government for its part can help streamline the process by ensuring timely allocation of the mineral block and provision of the requisite clearances.
Thank you, sir. I think drawing this linkage between inferred resource and resource that is economically viable will truly be insightful for our listeners. In recent times, countries such as the United States, Australia, and Japan have rallied in support of building robust, responsible, and resilient supply chains that are not dependent on mineral reserves of one country. One step in that direction has been their announcement for Mineral Security Partnership, MSP. The main goal of the MSP is to ensure that critical minerals are produced, processed, and recycled in a manner that supports the ability of countries to realize the full economic development benefit of their geological endowments. It aims to catalyze investments from government and the private sector for strategic opportunities across the full value chain. Its membership includes countries such as Australia, Canada, Finland, Germany, Japan, the Republic of Korea, Sweden, UK, US, and the European Commission. As can be noted from above, several developing economies, such as India, were not part of this partnership. What do you identify as the motivation for such endeavors? According to you, what are certain geopolitical and economic factors driving such partnerships? And why are only select countries invited for them?
I think the issue of supply chains is critical in recent global geopolitical factors adversely affecting critical mineral supply chains, starting with the COVID-19 pandemic and followed by the Russia-Ukraine war. So there have been uncertainties, various risks and uncertainties in the global arena. The supply chains of critical minerals may also be impacted due to a country's trade policies. A country which holds the monopoly rights on extraction or processing may distort the world trade by refusing to export. In certain cases, it has already happened. So what is important is that India must strategize policies to overcome potential challenges from likely supply chain disruptions. Other countries have recently, as you said, taken sizable steps to secure their mineral supplies. And the MSP, that is Multilateral Mineral Security Partnership, was announced in June 2022 to bring together countries to build robust critical mineral supply chains for climate objectives. The title was climate objectives, but there are many other objectives related to it, which include defense. What you mentioned and what I see from the membership, this is a group of advanced countries, and I don't see any developing countries included in this. It would have been desirable if India could participate, but then this is just one club. There are other opportunities. India must take lessons from other advanced economies on how they plan to secure their mineral needs and attempt to join international fora on assuring critical mineral supply chains, or use existing partnerships such as Quad, BIMSTEC, and certain bilaterals that India can. We already have one with Australia. There must also be a top-level decision-making within the government to make the strategies such that we create a vertically integrated supply chain of green technologies, both in energy generation as well as manufacturing technologies. Else we may be in the danger of missing out of our climate change mitigation targets. So we have to run a long race up to 2070 to net zero. So India must very carefully carve out the policies that are required.
Truly, sir. So my last and most important question for you today would be, how do you envision, although you have mentioned a few points to the previous question, but how do you think India should navigate such ongoing geo-economic challenges? And what are the ample opportunities that India can harness in the upcoming future when it comes to critical minerals?
I think this is also one of the most important questions of the day, because I'll be taking a couple of minutes here. India's current mineral exploration and allocation policies do not incentivize junior miners to invest in the country's mining value chain. Good international practice gives explorers the right to mine their discoveries post-mineral exploration, when they have discovered a mineral. However, in India, we have a system of auctions that was introduced in 2015, replacing the earlier first-come, first-serve system. Rightly so, in some sense, to increase the allocation process, fairness, objectivity, transparency. However, it left little incentive, or much less incentive, for the junior explorer to practice their expertise. The exploration policy needs amendments to encourage investments from global experts, particularly the experts who are referred to as a particular mineral specific expert. In the meantime, while further exploration work is underway, India must consider what role it would like to play in the downstream lithium value chain, because that is the question that you had asked. China has developed an efficient domestic lithium processing industry, which benefits from being a part of a larger supply chain, economies of scale, and years of expertise. If India is to compete in this market, that is the lithium market, substantive investments and additional skills will be required, perhaps with the help of strategic partners like Australia. Environment and social externalities must also be considered for mining and processing operations. For example, lithium processing consumes large quantities of water, and the waste streams may contaminate the air, water, and land, which would have adverse health impacts on local communities. India may simultaneously consider pursuing owning of foreign assets of lithium supply chains. So when I say lithium supply chains, I'm not being specific to one mineral. It applies to almost all the important critical minerals. With these factors in mind, and more significant incentives for exploration sector, India can use its wealth to be self-sufficient, its natural wealth to be self-sufficient in meeting its climate change mitigation targets. Just to add, when I say natural wealth, India's geology is often compared with Australian geology, and which means that there are other hidden minerals sitting under the ground, and we need to kickstart the process. To give you an example, a joint venture of three central public enterprises was established as Khanij Bidesh India Limited, has been assigned to ensure mineral security by facilitating supply chains, mining asset acquisitions, and government-to-government collaboration. Kabil has already expressed interest in establishing lithium extraction projects in Argentina. In addition to these G2G, that is government-to-government engagements, efforts through Kabil, the private sector must also look outside to secure critical mineral supply chains for their industries. A notable achievement of Kabil was the signing of a memorandum of understanding between India and Australia, between the two governments, for cooperation in mining and processing critical minerals. However, much more must be done to secure India's global mineral supply chains, including private sector involvement. So, on the domestic front, India can do much more in exploring and extracting critical minerals through entire supply chain, that is from mining to processing to when manufacturing. Lastly, India requires a critical minerals strategy that must incorporate the aspects of making India Atmanirbhar, that is self-reliant, on critical minerals needed for sustainable economic growth, green technologies for climate action, national defense, and affirmative action for protecting the interests of the affected communities and regions. In addition, India must actively engage in bilateral and plurilateral arrangements for building assured and resilient critical mineral supply chains.
Thank you, Dr. Chadda. You have insightfully laid out a systematic understanding of what India should do, what are the opportunities and challenges, and we hope that the readers are also more informed about critical minerals in the context of Indian supply chains as much as we are. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
You were listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, please visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg. You can also get updates from our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Thank you for listening to us today.